Well, this is interesting. I know everybody else said this, so I guess I will too. Okay. All right. Which? What's that? Well, this is definitely a blessing. This is a blessing. And I must say, this is a much younger crowd than what I'm used to. But I'm very privileged. I'm very thankful that the pastor asked me tonight to come here and preach for you. And I want to glorify God and be a blessing to all of you. That's the main thing. Very familiar passage. Let's turn to the book of Luke, chapter 15. The book of Luke, chapter 15. I'm going to start in verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Wasn't that a blessing? You not only receive sinners, but you also have fellowship. He eats with us. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And the Bible says in verse 8, Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, A certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divideth unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. 17. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. And I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger, on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this time together. And I pray, dear Lord, that your name be glorified. I pray, Lord, that you would work in our hearts to saturate ourselves with the Word of God, to saturate ourselves with prayer. Lord, that we learn to rely on you for everything, Lord. Lord, as we look here tonight, we're going to see a picture of something that was lost, found, and rejoicing took place. And Lord, it's all because of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Dear Lord, I am a weak servant. I pray, dear Lord, that you would work into me. You would give me the strength. You would give me the knowledge of your word now. And I pray, dear Lord, most of all, that your name be glorified and my brothers and sisters in Christ here before me would be edified and they would be strengthened. And Lord, I just pray I can be a blessing to them tonight. We pray, dear Lord, we thank you for all things. And we pray, Lord, for the safety of our pastor and his wife, and encourage them now in their time at the conference. And we pray, Lord, for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So what we see here, over and over again, three parables. Something lost, something found, and rejoicing taking place. The first one here, the lost sheep. Man has a sheep. He loses a sheep. He goes and looks for the sheep. When he finds that sheep, rejoicing takes place. One. Then again, what we see, the parable of the lost coin. This woman here loses the coin. And it says that she seeks diligently till she finds it. And when she finds it, rejoicing takes place. Then what we see here, as Pastor talked about the other night, we see a man, and he wastes his substance and gets off the path. He's lost. But then he gets found, and rejoicing takes place. Over and over and over again, that's what we see here. Now, I'll ask you a question, and I already know the answer. Have you ever lost something? You probably can name the list over and over and over. I know I can. Every day, yeah, that's right. We lose our wallets. Yes, I can say that. Lost keys. Yep, I can say that. Lost the remote controller once in a while. Yes, I can say that. Lost my purse. No, I didn't lose my purse. But I know some of you have. You know, I've only been wearing glasses for 3 years. So I'm not used to having them on. Sometimes, right now, I need to have them on or it's just one big blur. When I read the Bible, I don't need it on. What I've noticed is I start looking for my glasses. I start looking for them glasses. Lord, where's them glasses? Lord, where's them glasses? And I come back. They're on my face. Right on my face. So you lose something, and you search, and then you find it, right? Or if you're like me, you search and search. Well, when you find it, what happens? Rejoicing takes place. Woo! Found it, what I was looking for. You know something I've noticed as a Christian? I've been a Christian for 5 years. What I've learned is something that the Lord shows me. And maybe He shows you too. And maybe I'm wrong about this, but this is what I think He shows. Every time you lose something, it could be this pencil, a clip, just something, earthly things, but they're important at the time. We need to rely on God. No matter what it is. So I've noticed what the Lord has done is when I lose something, the Lord's worked on me to immediately go, Lord, where did I put that? Lord, please help me. Lord, help me. Help me find that. And when I found it, woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Give Him the praise. Give Him the praise all the time. No matter what it is, give Him the praise. The Bible says the word praise is in the book of Psalms 154 times, just in the Psalms. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:15, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. So we should always, no matter how little it is, whether it's this little thing here, or how big it is, always rely on God. Rely on God. I know it's elementary, but there's nothing wrong with keep on thinking about it, praying about it. You can't go over a Bible story too many times. Go over it. You'll get it. Okay. In everything, give Him praise, no matter if it's the earthly things and it's just temporary. Now, hold your place there. Remember a few weeks ago, Pastor was in Psalm 61. This is a great example. This is what I learned. There's a great example in Psalm 61. A great truth David showed us. Psalm 61, verse 1. You remember? Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. Starts out with prayer. What's interesting about the end of the verse? So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Starts with prayer, ends in praise. We need to always remember that. We need to always remember that. Now, we talk about this picture here of something being lost, something being found, and rejoicing taking place. I'm looking at a picture of something here that's lost, and that was found, and rejoicing took place. Because at one time, we were lost in our sins. We were without hope. We were without God. We were on our way to hell. Eternal damnation. And we were headed there. But thank God for Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. He died on the cross for our sins, even though we didn't deserve it. And He saved us. He worked upon our hearts. And He found us. And when we accepted Him as our personal Lord and Savior, what took place? Rejoicing. Amen. Rejoicing. Not only did that rejoicing take place in us, that weight of sin was lifted off our shoulders. Not only did we take place in that rejoicing, but our mom's praying for us, and our dad's praying for us, and your grandmas or aunts or uncles, whoever it be. And that rejoicing took place in them. What's interesting about the word Savior, I tell the kids this downstairs, the word Savior, S-A-V-I-O-U-R, Savior. What's interesting about that? He's our Savior. He's our Savior. King James Bible, Savior. It's spelled correctly.
Amen.
You go to those others, it's not. He's not our Savior. He's our Savior. He's all of our Savior tonight.
Amen.
So, salvation, most important thing in our lives. Most important decision in our lives. I didn't know the Lord until I was 26 years old. I've been saved for about 5 years. When I was 26, before I was 26, I was out in the world. I was doing the things of the world, the things I shouldn't have been doing, lots of things I don't even want to talk about. But I met a young woman. And within 10 to 15 minutes, when I met her, she asked me one of the most important questions of my life. She looked at me and she says, "Are you saved?" I said, "No, because I don't even know what that means." I had no clue what it meant. I never had been asked that before. Saved? What are you talking about? She began to go on. She told me how I was a sinner. I needed to admit I was a sinner. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was a sinner. And that I needed to accept Jesus. Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, and He was buried and rose again the third day. And that I needed to confess. I was stubborn. And over time, I started going to church, and in the church I got the truth. And I also got the truth right here. Never read this book until I was 26. I didn't know Noah and Moses. I didn't know what that stuff was. When I found out where the rainbow came from, I almost fell off the porch. I mean, what a blessing. I knew where the rainbow came from. What a blessing. And you know what? As time went on, I was stubborn. She started telling me more about the truth. She said, "You know, there's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And if you don't accept Jesus, you're going to burn in hell forever." And I slammed the phone down, because I was told on the phone. And I slammed the phone down. Oh, those nights. I'd lay in my bed, and it was dark. And the Lord was working on me, and all I did, "You're going to hell. You're going to burn, weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth." And you know it took her 3 to 5 times to tell me I was going to hell and I was going to burn. And then finally I did the most important thing that I could do. And I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior a little after Easter. Got down on my knees in Yorksville. And boy, this life hasn't been the same since. Boy, it's been a blessing. I got to the point where I was just sick and tired of being sick and tired. And only Jesus can heal the sick. And He did. It's the most important decision you can make. Admit you're a sinner. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I know this is all elementary, but we'll just keep on beating it. Believe that Jesus Christ died and buried and rose again. The Bible says, Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
For us. For us. And we must confess. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For whosoever, for whosoever, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Africa, Asia, Antarctica, if there's anybody down there, Hawaii, whosoever shall be saved. Not only did we rejoice, as the Bible says, when we got saved, but those others rejoiced, as I said. Look there in chapter 15, verse 7, though. And you know what it says. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. So not only was there rejoicing here, rejoicing was in heaven. Not only the Lord tells us once, He goes and tells us again in verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repenteth.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know what the rejoicing's like. If it's dancing, if it's wooing, I don't know what it is. But you know what? We're all saved and we're going to find out one day. Like I said earlier, it's frustrating when you lose something. We lose earthly things in this life. But as a Christian, you can also lose spiritual things. I want to talk about, we need to get back what we lost. Getting back what we lost. For instance, assurance. We can lose assurance. We don't get in the Bible. We get away, you know, go some different way and lose our assurance. People try to come in our lives and tell us there is no truth. We know there's truth. But first off, I want to talk about something you can't lose. And you know what you can't lose. You can't lose your salvation. If you're saved, you're saved. I was saved 5 years ago. I'm saved today.
Amen.
Amen. I know some of you maybe 40 years. I don't know. You were saved then. You're saved today. And you've never lost it at one point. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. John 3:36, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that abideth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Interesting. Hath everlasting life. Hath is present. You got it now. Hath. Hath. It doesn't say has. It says hath. It doesn't say has had. It doesn't say has and is going to lose. It doesn't say is going to have. It says hath now. Hath everlasting life. Hath. Present. Everlasting. If it's everlasting, it's eternal. If it's eternal, it's forever. Here's a good verse here. Romans 8. Ain't the Bible awesome?
Amen. Amen.
Man, I tell you, I know where the rainbow came from. I mean, that's a blessing. Man, I still can't get over that. That's over 5 years ago. For Romans 8:38-39, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, key words, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It doesn't matter if I'm alive, you got everlasting life. If I'm dead, I got everlasting life. It doesn't matter if the devil gets in the way. Ah, we got everlasting life. Now don't make fun of him. I'm not trying to make fun of him because he's more powerful than we can even imagine. Nor depth, nor height, nor anything that's in your life now, nor anything that's going to come. Nor any other creature, shall be able to separate us. Nothing will separate us from the love of God, so rich and pure, so measureless and strong. You guys set that one up. No, the Lord set that one up. Which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, and you're in Him. They can't take it from you. The Bible says, John 10:27-29, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I think about that verse, and I think about the little, when the girl's got the flower. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. You know what? Your flower is full. And when man comes along, tries to, he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you.
Amen.
Ain't no petals falling. Because there's no man plucking. Why is there no man plucking? The Bible says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You have a father. You have a biological father. Now, I know some of us have stepfathers. But your biological father is your biological father. You also have a heavenly father. You can't undo the biological father. You can't undo your heavenly father. Once he's your father, he's your father. As Pastor said, we are members. There's nothing in the Bible about cutting one of the members off. You can't cut us off. You are in Him. We are in Him. It's eternal life. It cannot be taken away. Assurance. So you can lose assurance. Some people just have never read those verses. Some people don't know those verses. And that's just a couple. There's all kinds in there. But there's other things that we can lose. We need to get it back. If we're lacking something tonight, if there's strength or something, we need to get it back. Not from ourselves, but from the Lord. It's reliance on Him. You know what else we can lose? We can lose fellowship. You notice that in the Bible, Luke chapter 2, verse 41, it says, now his parents, it's talking about Jesus, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. And they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard were astonished at his understanding and answers. You know how it is. We can walk away from the Lord, not even know we're doing it. And you walk a whole day's journey. And then we
didn't read my Bible. I wasn't praying like I should. I'm not feeling close to the Lord today. And we decide we're going to go back. We need to get back.
Yeah, brother.
But it doesn't seem to go as fast. Now look what that scripture says.
They walked a day's journey away from him. But it says, and it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him. It sure took longer to go back than it did to get away. We need not to do that. But the way we do that is we need to stay relying on God. Stay relying on God. So fellowship. Fellowship is important. We got to keep our fellowship. Fellowship is vital. We can lose other things. We can lose purity. We can lose strength. We can lose peace. We have all those things. Not because we got them, but because the Lord gave them to us. Joy. As I tell the kids downstairs, how do you get that joy, Eric? How do you keep that joy? J? O? Why? Yourself. Jesus, others, yourself. You get the joy from accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. I didn't have no joy before that. But you keep that joy by keeping Jesus first. And then keeping others before yourself. When we put the Y on top, you spell it Y-O-J. That doesn't spell anything. Yoj. It probably does somewhere. I'm probably, hopefully I'm not saying something I shouldn't be. Okay. Zeal. We have zeal. Never lose your zeal. We got to keep that zeal. Keep that zeal. You know, when you get saved, it's a mountain. And you go, and you go, and sometimes we tend to fall down. Sometimes it's straight down. Sometimes it's gradually. You get that zeal. You know that excitement that you had? And we need to stay close to the Lord in keeping that. We can lose our love for the brethren. It's important. We need to love one another. The Bible tells us that over and over. Keeping our love for the brethren. Good attitude. Some of us had a bad attitude, but when Jesus came into our heart, He gave us a good attitude. Keep that good attitude. Keep it through Jesus. Keep it by relying on God. Get it back. Let's get it back. How do we get it back? Well, we must ask ourselves, first of all, I used to do this, and I used to do that. I can say this because I'm a testimony of it. I used to do this, I used to do that. How did I lose it? How did I lose it? I want you to ask yourself that. Go to God. But how did I lose that? Show me, Lord, how I lost that. 2 Timothy 2, 3, and 4 says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Keep on the firing line. Keep on it. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a good soldier." Look what it says there. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. When we do that, we get tangled up. We get tangled in the web. We used to go fishing out in Caddis. We looked for ponds. We didn't know if ponds were there or not. We assumed they were over there. Sometimes you would have briar bushes all over the place. No paths. You had to figure out how you were going to get that way. Sometimes we'd be smart and you'd make yourself a path right up there. Other times you just go right into it and say, I'm going this way. As soon as you got in, you're tangled up, and you got the briars here and the briars there, all tangled up. Don't get tangled up with the affairs of this life. Not because I told you, because the Lord's telling you here. You get tangled up, dwelling on the flesh more than the spirit. When you do that, you're going to lose something. We was on visitation one day. We saw a young lady, and she said, we asked her, if she went to church anywhere. She says, no, but where are you guys from? And we told them we're from the Bible Baptist Church. She said, I used to go there. I didn't know her, and Brother Ken didn't know her. And so she said, like 7 years ago. So I don't know if any of you would know her. I don't know. You're going then, but you're not going now. Why are you not going? I got too busy for God. You got too busy for God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, never do this. Never do this. Keep the Lord close at all times. Rely on Him. Rely on Him. Rely on Him. When it comes down, just think about it though. No matter how bad it gets, no matter how good it gets, you always got the victory in Jesus. You always got the victory in Jesus. Things can be rough. Rougher than I can imagine. I haven't even scratched the surface. But you always, remember, you always have the victory in Jesus. Let it sink in. When it comes down to questions of, should I do this? Should I do this? Mrs. Dickinson, when I first came to this church, sent me a card, and in the card, she had this verse. Think about this. You got this choice, and you got this choice. Colossians 3:2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And just remember, when it comes down to that decision, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And let the Lord guide you to those things of heaven. It's elementary, I know. It's an elementary verse. It's one we all should know and we should all rely on. But it is definitely what we should do. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Jesus would like this. Now, so just think about that when it comes down to your making decisions. Think about that verse. Now, how do I get it back? How do I get it back? How do I get back what I lost? Let's look there in verse 4, chapter 15. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which was lost until he find it? Well, it's pretty apparent that this sheep was pretty valuable to him. Is what you lost valuable enough to look for? When it comes to spiritual things, yes, it always is. This man's sheep was to him. And he went, and when he found it, look what it says, and when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. brothers and sisters in Christ, when you find that thing, when you know that it's valuable, and if it's spiritual, it's definitely valuable, because it's valuable in heaven. When you find it, rejoice. Rejoice. Give praise to God. Give praise to the Lord. Now sometimes those things that we look for, we find out that they're valuable, and there's something else we need to do before we find them. Look what it says in verse 8. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? The Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Seek diligently. When you've lost something and you want the answers, seek diligently. Seek diligently anyway. Always seek diligently. This is the Bible. This is God's word. This is the King James Bible. This is the pure words of God. Because He is our Savior, not our Savior. Seek diligently. Realize what you're trying to get back. Is it valuable? Yes, it is. It has to do with spiritual things. We need to seek diligently. Seek diligently in the Word. Saturate yourself with the Word of God. Saturate yourself with prayer. Reliance on God. Saturate yourself with relying on God. It's going to take some effort, but be persistent. Prayer and fasting. Seek diligently. Like I said, when you find something in the Bible and you realize how great the treasure you just found, it's far better than gold and silver, dollar bills, and anything on this earth. That gold nugget. You get that gold nugget, and you're like, yes, yes, yes. You find that. But you know that you didn't find it. The Lord's the one that showed you. The Lord showed it to you. How do you get it back? Realize if it's valuable, and it is when it's spiritual. Seek and rejoice. Give the praise to God. The other thing, think about what you were doing when you quit. When was that? What was I doing before I noticed this? Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Really what it comes down to, the basic message is reliance on God. We need to rely on God every day for everything. No matter if it's toenail clippers that have been lost in a pile or what it is, rely on Him. And to get, let's get those things back. There's something you was doing before, let's get back to it. I mean, like I say, if I point a finger, I'm pointing three at myself. But just rely on God. It's been an amazing year. The way the Lord's been working. And I tell you what, yesterday, I got to give praise to God for this. When I was at work, they all started scattering. And I know what happens when they scatter. They're setting somebody up. But it just so happened it was me. And the girls came along and they said, come on, let's go. And I went in there, and there's a whole room full of my coworkers. And they start clapping a little bit. And they say, speech, speech, speech. I said, I wasn't waiting until Friday. I said, wanted today. I didn't know it was going to be today. So I went in there, and I told them what the Lord was doing in my life. And I told them, I said, I don't know. I says, but you need, this is what I learned. Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Boy, it's been a blessing. They bought me a Strong's Bible Concordance. My coworkers, because they heard me over talking the wall about being in this book and looking up these words. They bought me a new King James Bible because they said they couldn't find a King James Bible. But they said, "We know what you read and we'll give you the receipt." Wow. So I went last night and got me a super giant one. Boy, it's a blessing. And they took pictures and they made this big old cake. They had this big cake, and the one guy that I've been really working with a lot, and he went through similar things with me, and he said he accepted the Lord as a Savior. And he even grew up as a Catholic, but he said he accepted Jesus as a Savior. And the other thing, he drew this picture. Well, it just so happened that day I wouldn't get out of his office because I'm trying to train him. He drew this picture, and I'll show it to you, of this fish. Because they know I like to fish, but also the way it ties into the Bible, a fisher of men, a picture of a bass reading the Holy Bible, and every one of them signed it. Good luck, whatever you do. I don't like talking about myself, but it's not about me. It's about what the Lord has done in my life, and He's done in all of our lives. Everyone could get up here and tell us something, and it is great. It just blows us away. I love when Pastor does praise time. Boy, just the things that you hear, everybody, is something different, and it's such a blessing. It's edifying. We don't realize we're edifying one another when we do that. I mean, it is. It's needed. Lift each other up. Lift each other up. Rely on God. And what they ended up doing is they took that picture that he drew. Not only did they sign it and frame it, they put it on a Kennedy's cake. And then they made me cut it. And then they ridiculed me because of how I can't cut pieces straight. But it was a major blessing. They said, I had my exit interview. They said, "If you ever come back to the area, you're welcome here." And the Lord worked everything 100 times better than what I thought. But you know why? I guess I wasn't relying on Him as much as I was, or trusting in Him when I should have been. And through that, He teaches us. Because it's not going to just stop here. It's going to happen again with something else. And we're going to be ready for it this time. And He's going to be ready because He knows what's happening. So I just pray that that was an encouragement to you. And the Lord is a great God. Rely on Him for everything, through times of sorrow, through times of pain, through the mountains. Rely on Him. Again, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Thank you.
That's an excellent message, brother. And like Brother Kevin said, it's a simple, basic message, but that is God's message. Simple and basic. can all have that joy in your heart and in your life when you seek the Lord, when you diligently seek His face. He's going to come to you. He's going to give you the joy that you cannot believe. Well, amen.
Amen.
And number 19.
Jay, why don't you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we love you tonight, and we thank you for this gathering. And Father, those there, I'm sure, some that wanted to be here and just were unable for various reasons. And Lord, I pray that you will minister to them even now. And then, Father, thank you for Brother Kevin. God, we just use him for mighty way.
Amen.